Welcome to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. I'm Drew Boxler, editor of Physicians Practice. Every 2 weeks, we explore key areas of a successful, thriving, independent practice. We'll hear from experts in the industry regarding best practices for billing and collections, answer your top coding questions, analyze current legal trends, malpractice landmines to avoid, and look at the hottest tech innovations to increase productivity and enhance the patient experience. Let's get started. Transitioning away from a fee-for-service model to a more holistic, value-based care model has been a discussion among healthcare professionals for some time now. However, some physicians are still hesitant to adopt these models. Is this position warranted? Which is better, value-based care, fee-for-service, or even another model? Perhaps a combination of the two. In today's episode of Perspectives, you'll hear from Scott LaRoque, CEO of Empower Health, about the state of value-based care adoption in healthcare, why some physicians are still hesitant about these setups, and best practices for establishing them in your practice.
I believe value-based care is still in its infancy from a commercial point of view, but there's still little chance of turning back at this point. Currently, payers and employers are shifting reimbursements to value-based metrics such as quality and outcomes to contain costs. And different payers such as Anthem, United, Aetna, and Cigna have shifted more than half of their reimbursement to value-based models that pay providers based on the quality of the care delivered and the outcomes that their patients receive. In addition, I think massive investments have been made across providers, facilities, pharmaceutical companies, and medical device manufacturers. All have begun to create payment arrangements that reward better outcomes or maintain outcomes at a lower total cost of care. Moving forward, I think we will see advancement of care paradigms and modifications to treatment plans for disease states, not just in a few fields or specialties, but across the entire healthcare landscape. As this paradigm matures, I think we'll see groups taking more holistic risk, and you'll see advancement of the types of value-based models that are utilized by organizations.
Scott says that there is a myriad of reasons that physicians might be hesitant to adopt these value-based care models.
I think there's a myriad of reasons for that, but independent practices are facing a multitude of challenges just to survive these days, increased regulations, increased reporting requirements, as well as needing necessary technology and personnel infrastructure. All of these things place a huge demand on practices at a time when it may be financially prohibitive to do so or to do these things on their own. Additionally, the collaboration requirements in value-based care to improve outcomes also require new tools that may not be available to some practices. And most importantly, certain value-based payment models do allow providers to take financial risk with their patient populations. And without sophisticated actuarial or risk modeling, those care groups, like physician practices, could find themselves over their heads or upside down taking risk without the appropriate data to drive sound decision-making. I think fee-for-service was really designed to pay people for work performed, but without any real relation to the quality of the work or how what the patient's outcomes were. Moving forward, I think there's a few different types of models that will take home, and they kind of grow upon themselves or layer on top of themselves. The first of which is a shared savings model. And this really is the first step toward value-based. This creates a scenario where physicians don't have a lot of downside. They have a fee-for-service layer and then a shared savings layer on top of that. And in that shared savings layer, if they save a constituent or a payer or an employer a certain amount of dollars, that those groups would share that saved revenue back with the providers. Bundles would be a next category beyond that, and that's grouping ecosystem of payments around an episode of care, instead of paying separately for multiple encounters in that episode of care, they're all grouped together. And it really, I think in that situation, gives the lead providers an opportunity to manage those costs and benefit from them. But usually those are set up off of a benchmark rate. So exceeding those amounts create a financial downside for the groups. And then taking shared risk, this is kind of partnering alongside of payers and participating in the up and the downside. So that's an evolution from the shared savings model. And then finally, a global capitation model where providers are paid a fixed fee for an entire population of patients. And I think this type of model is really geared to incentivize conservative care across patient populations.
Scott says the physician hesitation toward value-based care adoption might also stem from the risks that these models present.
Sadly, for physicians, in certain models, there can be assumed risk to the physician and the physician practices and all providers in general. These models do create a greater upside for reward to those practices, but taking risk without a well-informed pool of data can ultimately mean providers are flying blind without the proper decision support along the way.
If you haven't already started to transition to a value-based care model, but are interested in helping define their scope, time may be dwindling. Scott says that the ability to shape these models is currently in the hands of those practices that have already established value-based care models.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, it's not totally on the shoulders of physicians to develop these care models. Several stakeholders in the healthcare space really have to come together and collaborate and agree on a structure that in concept will benefit all of the constituents involved. With that being said, for those who are not actively involved with payers or employers on this front, it will be difficult to shift some of the value-based care models if they aren't involved early on in the process, which is now. The ability to influence what value-based care looks like in specific specialties, I think those decisions and those conversations, that type of collaboration is happening today. And those are beginning to take shape and to be formed. So there will be less ability for providers down the road to impact or change how those models work.
Up next, Scott gives his predictions for value-based care in 2021.
I really think as you see the country get control of the coronavirus pandemic, as you see vaccines begin to be distributed, I think the laser focus of healthcare moves away from COVID and we start shifting our attention back to strategic goals of making healthcare more sustainable in the long run. I know that multiple large payers are in the process of putting together the infrastructure behind the scenes so that they can pay out in structures like bundles at scale, and so that they can monitor and share data. Data interoperability will be a big limitation. So as we see that being solved, I believe that it will open the gates to a more mainstream value-based care adoption across the country.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with me, Scott. And thank you all for listening to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. We hope you subscribe or listen to podcasts, rate us, and let us know what topics you would like to hear more about. For more practice management insights from the top experts in the field, be sure to visit us at physicianspractice.com and sign up for our newsletter.